This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., wealth management specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Oh, these crazy, wacky judges are at it again. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. Our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. First of all, thank you for all of your incredible generosity on Friday for our Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. We had an incredible day, and I just can't say enough about the wonderful work of everybody involved, really, truly, all the producers and all the hosts and working as a team together. And it was great to be on the air with Nick and with Dawn and Greg and Dom and Dan. And so I just had a blast being on the air with all the hosts. And I want to thank all the producers for their great job, and Matt and Justin and Kirk and Sean and everybody behind the scenes, Jim Kelly. I don't want to leave anybody out, but I mean, everybody was an all hands on deck effort. But as a host, though, it was great to be on the air with my fellow hosts, because there's not many opportunities to do that, unfortunately. And we all get along great, which is nice. So throughout the day, you know, I think one thing you notice if you listen to Friday's show, if you listen to the Radiothon, is the way that we really make it a point not to step all over each other. We're very respectful of each other's various interviews, and it's just a good camaraderie, because too often there are situations where people want to, you know, kill each other. I mean, there are times we want to kill each other, obviously. I mean, literally, we almost came to the blows at the end of last year's Radiothon. But this year was a little more subdued at the end, because we not only met, but we exceeded the goal. So thank you again for that. And money's still coming in, which is great. Really, really great. So these investments in the United States of America that are happening mean jobs. And jobs are a good thing. Obviously, everybody understands that. Jobs are a good thing. But let's think about something very critical about what's happening with the Democrat Party right now, and something that's happening on the other side of the country, which is Kamala Harris. Will she or will she not run for governor of California? Okay? So the whole thing, and I was on America's Newsroom this morning. I think I've only mentioned that 85 times today, along with Jimmy Failla. The only thing about being on that show, you prep, and then all of a sudden the topics change, and that's okay. But I was all prepped to talk about Kamala Harris and running for governor. Trump comes out, he trolls her, and he says, yeah, well, I think she should do it. And if she does do it, she should do lots of interviews, right? She should do lots of interviews. The interviews for her are disastrous. I mean, that's the problem, is that it's an absolute S show. It's a total disaster for her. You could do as many interviews as you could do a billion interviews. It's not going to change the fact you don't have a message, or that the message is the wrong message for people. You know, it's like what we were talking about, too, with this whole notion of her going on podcasts or not going on podcasts. The headline is not that had she done more podcasts, she would have won. The headline is that she didn't do podcasts for a reason. And the two reasons are, number one, she can't. She's not good at it. But number two, it was avoiding what is by far the biggest scandal of our lifetime, which is Joe Biden's cognitive decline. Joe Biden's cognitive decline, the biggest scandal of our lifetime. There's no way you can get around that fact. And the cover-up of all that. So this is what's interesting. So President Trump today said he's going to give a pardon to Devin Archer, who's Hunter Biden's business partner. Now, even though Joe Biden's auto pen gave a pardon to Hunter Biden, that doesn't mean that the Biden crime family is off the hook. They can be hauled before Congress. Other members who did business with them could be charged, but Devin Archer got immunity. Presidential immunity, the highest level you can get, a pardon. He's going to get that. So that means that he's probably going to be cooperating in every possible way that he can. I think Trump wants to see justice happen when it comes to the Biden crime family. I think Trump wants to see, and I know the American people want to see it too. There's something deep down inside that just burns all of us when people like that get a pass. You know what I mean? Like they get away with it. And we hate that. This notion of, well, how come they got away with it? And all these people who go to Congress and they get rich and there's insider stock trading and everything else. I mean, there's a big reason why Senator John Kennedy said the Democrat Party is less popular than chlamydia. It's because you can't cure the Democrat Party. I mean, you can cure chlamydia. No, but I'll give you an example, okay? The left doesn't want to moderate even on an issue that seems so basic, which is transgenderism. Transgenderism. Just even on this issue, you look at the poll and you say overwhelmingly the American people turn around. They say we want women to be able to do women's sports and not have a biological dude, you know, beat her up. And you heard Paula Scanlon on the show a little while ago. So any left-leaning politician who wants to moderate on trans issues is going to do so in defiance of the very Democrat Party itself. And so whether you've got Gavin Newsom or Bernie Sanders both come out and say, I don't understand why we're going down this road, it's because that the Democrat Party, that's your base now. And that's, if you're running in a primary election, that's your base vote. You let crazy in, it's very hard to get crazy out. I mean, there's no crazy exorcism for crazy people. One poll found that this one guy in California, right? So Gavin Newsom, you know, obviously does his podcast and he tries to sound all moderate and everything like this. And as National Review put it, you know, things are weird on the left when Gavin Newsom is seen as a right-wing sellout for simply stating and not acting on his long-held view that allowing men to compete against women in sports is deeply unfair. Leftists have turned on him. And his favorability among left-leaning Californians declined from 46% to 30% after they were made aware of his view on the subject. The Nation, which is, you probably never even heard of it, right? This is a wacko publication, which if nothing else is a reliable indicator of leftist sentiment, has bestowed upon him the Greasy Gavin Newsom title. Greasy Gavin Newsom. But you see the polls and overwhelmingly people tell you that this is something that they think is nuts, like letting biological men compete against women in sports. They think it's crazy. So then you turn around and go, why doesn't the Democrat Party just embrace that and wake up and say, all right, we're going to show compassion towards transgender people and we'll let them compete in sports, but it's got to go by the sex you were assigned at birth, although I don't know who does the assignment, and then just move on from the issue. They can't because the base is loud and angry, and the base is the people that walk around, scratch Teslas, and burn Teslas. And that's where they're stuck right now in this issue. Bringing it back to New Jersey for a second, since New Jersey has this governor's election coming up, I keep getting asked about who the Democrat nominee for governor is. I have no idea. I have no way of knowing that because they don't know how to run. Really, a Democrat right now has no idea how to run in a statewide campaign. They don't know if they should run far to the left. They don't know if they should try to occupy a middle lane. They don't know because the people that are coming out to vote are the most diehard kooks. They really are. I mean, it's, I'm not just saying this because it's me. I'm saying this because you've got people like James Carville and other people who are out there saying that this is an election about kooks, and you've got to get rid of the kooks. You know, the other election to watch is actually Wisconsin. There's something going on in Wisconsin. America's most important election of the year in Wisconsin. It's for the control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And you've got this Republican former AG against a woman named Susan Crawford, who's a big lefty. And it's got nationwide implications. And you go, well, why? Why does a Wisconsin Supreme Court seat? Because they're trying to make it a referendum on President Trump and Elon Musk. And a lot of that, too. And they're saying that now this is going to be a litmus test here. I don't know if it's going to be a litmus test on this court. But I think the real race to watch is the New Jersey governor's race this November. I really do. I think that if there's a moment, if the Democrats are able to moderate, get a candidate who they find to be as a moderate or something like this, and then make that person their standard bearer, it'll say a lot about how the party turns around and realizes that it's completely and utterly insane, and they've got to do a cleansing of their crazy. But if they can't do that, then they're stuck. You know what I mean? Then they're stuck in this vortex. So I think that's actually the real race to watch, is who the Democrats wind up selecting as their standard bearer. And some of these candidates are going to try to run as the anti-Trump resistance, and some of these people are going to try to run as the bipartisan compromise person. They're all trying to distance themselves from Murphy, though, because he's incredibly unpopular. But, you know, if you look on the national level and you think about Chuck Schumer can't have it both ways, right? Chuck Schumer can't have a situation where he's out there one day turning around and he's the resistance to President Trump, and then the next day he's turning around and trying to be the bipartisan hero who's saving government from shutting down. It's like, which is it, Chuck? You can't have it both ways, man. It's got to be one or the other. And so I look at the angry reaction, and we played some of the audio earlier on the show, but I mean, I look at the angry reaction to Chuck Schumer, and I think, this guy sounds like he's got multiple personalities. One personality of his is turning around and saying that he wants to stop Trump, Trump should be impeached, Trump is a dictator, and the other is, let me work with Trump on the budget to save America because we can't have the government shut down. And the Democrats are angry at him, even though the Democrats were screaming and lecturing us for years that a government shutdown would be the end of the world. It would literally destroy civilization and humanity, and there'd be nothing left in its wake. So you got to figure out where you stand on this issue. And I don't know. I mean, it just seems like the real wake-up call in that situation is that here you've got, again, you got Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez threatening to challenge Chuck Schumer. And if she runs against him in a primary, she'll probably beat him, if the Democrat Party continues down this road. However, if the Democrat Party nominates Andrew Cuomo, which is another race to watch, then maybe there's a difference there, because then maybe the Democrat Party has learned some lessons and the Democrat Party has realized, hey, you know what? We have to get somebody who at least can act like they have a moderate sensibility. I don't really have an answer for that, other than I know that in watching all these contests play out, this is literally a team that has no idea what its mission is or its purpose is. And they just, and you can't just win by being the party that always says no all the time. You can't. They think you can, but you can't. History tells us as much. If you think you can win by being the party that always says no, you will lose. You'll lose every time. I mean, you know that. People want to get results. And Trump gets results. This is why he walks in the Wells Fargo Center the other night to a rousing standing ovation. And people in Philadelphia. And there's, granted, there's people coming from all around the region coming to see that wrestling tournament. But I mean, you know, thunderous applause and chants of USA, USA. And the Democrats just don't know what to do with that. And being on the side of criminals and illegal aliens and biological men in sports just does not help. It doesn't help the situation at all. And being on the side of Green New Deals that are leading to things like these energy increases that are happening all across the country now in these blue states, because they have to get energy sources from out of their states because they can't make enough with their wind turbines and their solar panels, that doesn't help you either. So all that does is drive up rates and remind people of how bad and dangerous these policies are for everybody. So, you know, they've got a real problem here. Not as bad as the problem that Disney has with Snow White, just hemorrhaging money, but pretty close. And, you know, for George Clooney to come out and say he's a man of his word and he had to speak out because they had to get Obama or Biden out of that race. Oh, please, bat nipples, give me a break. The fact of the matter is, George Clooney is the reason why, he's about as much of the reason why that Joe Biden got out of the race as I am. The Obamas were behind that move, and George Clooney was the messenger. He was the bag man. He was sent there with a message to get him out of the race, sent by the Obamas. You know it, and I know it. Everybody knows it. But I just love how he now is just this whole reinvention of history. You know, like, no, it wasn't me. I'm just a man of my word. I'm a man. I'm a principled man. Chuck Schumer vows I'm not stepping down. I mean, they're a mess. They're a freaking mess. If this were a company right now, you would just be waiting for mass firings. The problem, though, with politicians is that you can only fire them at certain times when their election's up. You can't fire them in the middle of something. If this was a corporation with these kind of losses on the books, there'd be a big restructuring. There'd be a new CEO. There'd be a new COO. There'd be, I mean, everybody in the C-suite would be replaced, you would think, if the company had a chance of survival. But in politics, these people have terms. And then when their term is up, their term is up. Until that time, there's nothing you can do with them. You're stuck. And then there's some people that are just immortal, like the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi. She's been there 1,000 years. She'll be there 1,000 years longer. But I truly believe that inside all of this, the guy sitting back and just watching is Josh Shapiro, because he can just fly under the radar and do his little videos where he talks about his various different things and just stay out of the national fray. I mean, the best place you can be right now, honestly, is to be a governor and not be a senator or a member of the House of Representatives. You should just be a governor and just try to fly under the radar. But then you've got to figure out for your own political future, if you're facing re-election, then what do you do? That's why Kathy Hochul is coming out against Trump. She's going to try to run again. See, Shapiro can't run. Newsom can't run. So what, the best place to be is actually a governor who's term limited, because then you can set your sights on national ambition, I guess, is basically what you would look at as the impetus to that. Looking at that going forward and saying, well, I got nothing to lose, so I now want to run for president. I'll just stay under the radar, let all these other kids fight it out and be the resistance and see how this goes, because we got a couple of years here. I think that's probably ultimately their game plan. All right, coming up, why New Jersey is the race to watch and what's going on with the courts and Trump's deportation orders. All that straight ahead in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
First of all, I would be remiss if I did not begin by saying thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for all of your incredible, incredible, generous donations on Friday at our Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon. Unbelievable. I mean, we blew away expectations, and yes, I did threaten to change the entire show to W. Gavin Newsom and Michelle Obama podcast, but you came through, Scioli Army. You did it. God bless you. Thank you for that. Huge win. Really, really great stuff. So thank you. I'm honored. And big day. I mean, everybody's talking about it. When I was, well, I'm still in New York. I mean, Fox News, I think I mentioned that 87 times today during the show. And people kept asking. And then when I told them $125,000 in one day, they were like, seriously? Really? Wow. That's amazing. It is amazing stuff. It really is. Speaking of New York, Governor Kathy Hochul confirms New York State Police will not cooperate with ICE to deport violent criminal illegal immigrants. That's what she said. She said the counties that do so are renegade. Here's what I want to say about the current state of the Democrat Party, because I made this point this morning on Newsroom, and this is the point. If you ever go to a birthday party, a kid's birthday party in particular, like for example, you know, Reagan's turning 5 in mid-August, and we have been searching to find the perfect birthday party for her, because we've never actually really thrown her a birthday party, and you know, the one where she brings friends to, and I mean, some of these things get ridiculous and over the top. We wanted to do something that was nice and fun, but also not cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. It really gets crazy when you, so if you're a parent, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of these parents now, for a 5-year-old's birthday, they'll treat it like a wedding or a sweet 16 or, a diamond jubilee. Shirting 5. But nevertheless, a lot of times at these parties, it comes with a party coordinator. That person's job is to wrangle all the kids, essentially, and get them together and then plan activities for them while the parents all stand around and day drink. That's typically most child birthday parties that you go to. And when you first arrive, you're looking around, the kids start running around doing whatever, they're pulling down decorations, attacking balloons, and they're beating the pinata, and you go, where's the party coordinator to get everybody in line here and get some focus going? That's the Democrat Party. Where's their party coordinator? Who's going to come in and be the adult in the room for all these crazy children and wrangle them and say, here's our message, this is what we're doing, here's the activity for the next 45 minutes. Because I mean, whether it's AOC or it's Bernie or they don't have a message. So it doesn't matter how many interviews you do. You could do 1,000 interviews. You're only going to make it worse, because the more people hear from you, they hate your ideas and they reject your ideas and they don't like it. But honestly, who's the adult in the room that's going to come in and save them from themselves at this point? And it seems as if, when you look at the poll numbers where they say Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is actually now more popular, people think that she's the leader of the Democrat Party. It shows you that all the prognosticators within their party, whether it's Carville, whether it's Van Jones or whoever, they have no idea what to do with this. This nuclear bomb they have in front of them that is the Democrat Party today. Because if AOC is the standard bearer, if she's the one who is popular, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I mean, just think about that for a second. Think about what the consequence of that is. That means then that you are watching them continue down this road of far left kookery. Far left kookery. That's what we're talking about here. And as long as AOC is going to be the standard bearer of that, then the Democrats are going to wind up being a minority party in this country for a very, very long time. Truly a very long time. There's no way you can say to me that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez can get elected on a national level. Once she win the nomination, I have no doubt about that. But to win on a national level, I mean, she's toxic to people. And then in New York City, you've got Andrew Cuomo. So Cuomo's trying to do this game where he tries to pretend as if during COVID he was the shining leader and everything he did was great and nobody died because of him. You know, he saved everybody's lives and made everything better. That's the game that Cuomo's trying to play here. They're actually doing something in New York where they're doing a wall to remember all the victims of the nursing home, because I call him the nursing home killer because he's the nursing home killer and he's killed a lot of people. But that's the thing. They're trying to reignite the conversation around the nursing homes, because obviously the corporate media is now all in on Team Cuomo. If you've noticed, they've abandoned Eric Adams, who raised less money this quarter than a comedian named Corinne Fisher. And I know Corinne Fisher from being on Fela's Saturday Night Show. I think a year ago I was on there with her. Corinne is she's a comedian. She's running for mayor. She's raised more money than the incumbent mayor of New York City. So that tells me a couple things. Tells me that by trying to go in the center lane, Eric Adams now is being completely shut out. And they want Cuomo back in. And they think he may be the answer for the party's woes going into 2028. So it may be that his goose is just cooked in terms of, well, I mean, Eric Adams, in terms of they've decided they got to have Andrew Cuomo in there. They got to get Cuomo in there now, because if they get Cuomo in now, then maybe they have a chance to be able to, I don't know, in some way, shape or form, maybe save this disaster. That is the Democrat Party. I don't know. In some ways, I think that a big part of the problem for them, if you look at it, is that they are just so absolutely 100% misguided in their hatred for the American worker. Like, they really do hate workers. They hate people that work for a living. And you see that by what they're doing with Tesla dealerships. And just by going after the people that own and build Teslas and rooting for them to be out of a job, and you're rooting against the American auto worker. You're rooting for people to, and Tesla's got a really cool thing. It's called Sentry Mode. Sentry Mode, which reminds me of what the Batmobile in the movie The Dark Knight was able to do. But unlike in that movie where it will attack you, what the Tesla will do in Sentry Mode is it will turn on all the cameras and it'll display a screen that says you're being recorded. So if any wacko comes over and tries to do something to your Tesla, whether it's scratch it, you never scratch another man's vehicle, burn it or whatever, then the Sentry Mode is going to kick in to record that. But the fact that we got to put that out there and let people know that, I mean, that's crazy. But they're rooting for the destruction of an American company. Tim Walz trying to walk back the fact because his pension plan in his state is so heavily invested in Tesla. But this is the worker we're talking about. And until the Democrat Party gets back to being the worker party, it has no chance. I don't mean like the socialist workers of America kookiness, although that's kind of it too. But they were at one point the party that was there for the white working class voter. And they're not there anymore for the white working class voter. And that's part of the problem. I'll tell you something else too. If you were to think that AOC is maybe the heir apparent to Bernie Sanders and the Bernie Sanders legacy, the problem with that is that AOC is really, truly one of the leaders of the woke movement. AOC and the squad were the ones who brought woke to a theater near you. being offended by everything and toxic masculinity and Latinx and all the other nonsense. AOC and the squatties, they were the ones out there pushing all this nonsense. Well, they were. And so if you really think about it, Bernie Sanders in 2016 wasn't about woke. Bernie Sanders now is not about woke. He's turning around to his own party and saying, we got to get back to our roots here. I mean, everybody hates us. But he brings AOC out on the trail. And then, you know, in that interview with on ABC with Jonathan Carlin, it's like, do you think AOC should run against Chuck Schumer? He's like, I have no time
for your silliness. I'm getting up and I'm leaving. I don't want to.
Well, why bring her out there and displaying her? I understand she might be attractive to some people, Bernie, but doesn't she represent literally the exact kind of kookery the Democrat Party should be running from at this point? I don't know. I just if you're trying to go back to the party of the white working class voter, and you bring out a woman who yells at you in public because you don't use the phrase Latinx, or you misgender somebody, or you don't scream down with the patriarchy, and you don't scream about white capitalist corporate guilt and all the other nonsense. It seems like you've got the wrong person for the party.
Well, having a party, you are not you're inviting her to the party, but she hates
the base of the Democrat Party being white working class voters. The Democrat Party trying to destroy Tesla is exactly the reason why Tesla wound up, or I should say, the American auto workers sat on their hands in the last election. And by sitting on their hands, they were helping Trump. Because it was, you know, very, very much of the situation of like, well, you know, we can't endorse, but we know who we like. And I think you can figure out by our absence exactly what we mean by that. And I think you know what we mean, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Right? That's the truth. They're going after just American auto workers. And so when Trump's talking about tariffs, the American workers cheer at this. You can say that, but then when he says at the cabinet meeting, and we played the clip earlier, you know, you've got companies now moving into the United States, maybe $4 trillion worth of companies moving back or going to move back. I mean, that's huge. And then you hear the Secretary of Agriculture talking about how, you know, we canceled a contract in New York educating transgender and queer farmers on food justice. And you go, wait, so you mean I'm working all day? Let me get this straight. I'm working all day. I'm busting my hump all day. I get home. I'm tired. Had a long day. You're telling me that my tax dollars went towards food justice for transgender farmers? What the hell does that even mean? Transgender and queer farmers, food justice and food equality. Even the secretary was like, I don't even know what that means. But they were throwing money at it. But they were just throwing money at everything. I mean, everything. just use the test that I always use, which is the real person test. You sit down. I was talking about this with Jimmy Failla earlier, the 80-20 rule. It's the 80-20 rule is that Trump's right on 80% of the stuff that matters to people, and that's what really counts. If you sat down with a guy at a bar or a gal at a bar, whatever, and you had a beer and you said, do you think your money should go towards, I'm just going to read you this, okay? Do you think your money should go towards educating transgender and queer farmers? If they stop. Right there. Okay? Stop right there. You don't even have to continue with this. All right? You don't even have to. We're good. We're good. Got it? And we're good. We're fine. I think the answer to that is a big, gigantic no. All right, more to come on our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Hey, Dr. Mike Vinaria is a great guy, a great friend of the show, and the master of dental implants. We're so grateful to him for all of his incredible work. He is the big story sponsor of the hour. Thank you to Dr. Mike Vinaria. I appreciate it very, very much. And, you know, on Friday, it was great to see my friends Matt and Stephanie Kelly of Emmons Roofing and Siding, and their son Mason. Kid's so cute, isn't he? Mason's a great kid, and Matt and Stephanie are terrific. Emmons is your go-to contractor for all things for your home, and you should reach out to them today because you're going to get 10% off inflation relief discount on roofing, siding, windows, Anderson windows, doors, and more. Your home will not only look more beautiful from the curb, it's going to be able to withstand the elements no matter what Mother Nature throws at you, or birthing person nature. So reach out to Emmons today. It was great for that. They stepped up. They were a big sponsor, the Travis Manning Foundation Radiothon on Friday. I was really proud of that, and it was great to have them in studio with us for that. So go to EmmonsRoofing.com. And use them. I've been using them for 10 years in 2 different homes. Unlike Bernie, I don't own multiple homes, but I had a home and I sold it and bought this home. And Emmons gets the job done with integrity. They serve Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore, our entire region. So just reach out to them today by going to EmmonsRoofing.com, EMMONS, EmmonsRoofing.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Ba-ba-bum. You know what it is when you're doing a 4-hour show, you have to be cognizant of a couple things. Well, number one is the fact that you might be getting in your car today and turning on the radio for the first time, and you're like, all right, what's going on today? What's in the news? The big story basically is that the judge in the appeals court hearing says Trump deportation flights are an unprecedented action, and said that Nazis got better treatment under the Alien Enemies Act than Venezuelans on the Trump deportation flights did. So you understand what you're dealing with here with this lunatic judge. And this is why today Jim Jordan, other members of Congress came out and said, we're going to start holding hearings on these judges. This particular judge in D.C. is a judge named Patricia Millett of the U.S. Court of Appeals of D.C. I have no doubt that the district court is going to rule against the president on these deportation flights. I have no doubt. It doesn't matter. It's going to go up to the Supreme Court regardless. But it's just, you know, to root for violent criminals, gang members, to remain in our country. That's what we're talking about here, the Democrat Party. That's what we're talking about. Violent criminals, you stay in this country and we want you here. And we're going to try to push out and keep violent nutbag criminal. I think it's crazy. I really, really do. And whether he wins in the courts at this stage or not, he's winning with the American people. Is the American people don't, again, use the beer test I talked about earlier. You're having a beer with somebody and you say, do you think that violent criminals, the answer would be yes. Wait, I didn't finish the question. Should be allowed to stay in this country? Oh, no. Do you think they should be kicked out? Yes. Do you think they should be allowed to stay in this country and walk around the streets? No, of course. The answer to that is no. I did want to mention, though, you know, the movie Snow White, which is socialist Snow White. I mean, really, I didn't see it. I'm not going to spend money on this. Not because of I'm boycotting it or anything, the politics. I don't really care about that. It's just, to me, it sounds terrible. The reviews are bad. Like, all across the board, the reviews are bad. But Peter Suderman at Reason said the long-delayed remake is a flat, limp, relentlessly boring film strung along by bland, uninspiring songs. Oof. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? He said if you've heard anything about Disney's new live-action Snow White remake, it's probably that it's woke. And the movie caters to cringe left identitarianism. I had to look up what identitarianism is. The long in the works movie, most of which was shot in 2022, had been embroiled in online controversy for years. And the movie is indeed a train wreck. The problem isn't just that it's woke, it's that it's awful and lamely, bluntly socialist. The remake's big idea was to twist the idea of the word fair. See, in earlier versions of Snow White, an evil queen would ask a magic mirror, who is the fairest of them all? It's always the queen, till one day the mirror responds that it's actually her stepdaughter, the Princess Snow White. The question, who is the fairest, in other words, has always been a question about beauty. But in the remake, there's something else going on. The movie goes to great lengths to demonstrate that the queen isn't fair because she's not a socialist. Now, they don't quite use that word, but it's very obvious starting early in the film when Snow White encounters a handsome thief named Jonathan. And Jonathan's the leader of a group of bandits. They live in the woods. They survive by stealing food. He feels justified in stealing because he and other ordinary people have very little while the queen has a lot and won't share. Now, you might think to yourself, oh, it's kind of like Les Mis, Jean Valjean stole a loaf of bread and survived. No. It's not just a lesson in being kind. After Snow White takes up with several computer animated dwarfs in the forest, one of the dwarfs explains that the bandits in the woods are only there because of the queen's greedy economic policies, which force them there into a liminal space where ethics are harder to define. Now,
Why am I spending time on this? Because you might think to yourself, I want to take my kids to a family movie and Snow White and everything like this. This movie is exactly the kind of indoctrination I want you to be very aware of. Just like that book, Rainbow Fish. I don't know if you remember this or not, but years ago there was I read on the air a book that my son... somebody gave him a book called Rainbow Fish, and it seemed harmless. And, you know, we read to our kids every night, always have, ever since they were babies. But I'm reading this friggin' Rainbow Fish book, and I'm like, this book is socialism. Yeah, and Bridget laughed it off. She's like, oh, stop it. It's about fish. It's glittery fish. I said, no. And then I read it on the air. And sure enough, yep, it was absolutely 100%. So, and there's a lot of kids' books out there with subtle but not so subtle messages you got to be very aware of. And I've recommended some kids' books over the years to you, like Nobody Knows How to Make a Pizza, for example, that truly teach you about the economy and fair market capitalism and things like that. But they sneak woke stuff in there to kids. And there's a reason, because kids are impressionable, obviously. And you can probably get away with it at that age without them questioning things. They just go, oh, well, you know, the queen's mean because she's got all the money and she's an evil capitalist. And I understand that. I mean, from a child's brain, there's not a lot of, well, it's a little more nuanced than that. And I'm sharing this with you because this is the battle that I see playing out, whether it's now or in the future, with regards to schools and indoctrination of children in schools, without question. So after Snow White takes up with these weird-looking dwarf creature things, who are CGI, so they're taking jobs away from the real dwarves in the movie, and they put them in with these, they look like freaking garden gnomes, they're creepy. The movie is about how stealing is justified because of the evil queen's economic policies. She's not fair because her privilege and selfishness have impoverished ordinary people. It's Snow White by way of Occupy Wall Street. Jonathan and Snow White continue to flirt through a song called Princess Problems, which is mostly about how Snow White needs to understand her own privilege. Sure, she might have lost both her parents and has been essentially a maid by her evil stepmother, but she's literally a princess who lives in a castle. So there was a whole thing about how she's got all this privilege and blah, 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 blah. There's a nod to the queen's evil worldview. She's poisoned all of us into believing it's everyone for themselves. I mean, Peter Suderman at Reason said it's literally as if Bernie Sanders did a rewrite of the original Snow White. And he says it's less a magical fairy tale than a cloying, clunky disquisition against Ayn Rand, who, of course, wrote Atlas Shrugged and The Fountainhead. But and you need to know that because... Know what you're getting into. Know what you're bringing your kids or your grandkids to see. But then putting that aside, it's a flat, limp, relentlessly boring film strung along by bland, uninspiring songs. The production budget soared past $250 million, yet somehow the film manages to look very cheap. Yeah, and you know what they should have done with this? And I was talking about this a little while ago during the break when I was just grabbing a snack, because I got great snacks here at Fox, and I got to get out of here and get the train home. But the car home. But I was just saying that they should have just shelved this whole friggin' thing, and they should have just put it right straight to streaming. But that's the problem, though, is that they made this at a different time in America. They made this at a woke time where they could not have imagined Donald Trump getting elected in the White House again. And now you blew up Snow White. You spent a fortune and people hate this friggin' thing. And the critics hate it. You see, normally, just to show you what I mean, most critics, I think people would agree, lean to the left, 44% on Rotten Tomato meters. And typically that's reverse, where the critics bomb a movie and the audience loves it. The loving of this movie is being done now because there's orchestrated campaigns by Disney to get out there and for people to put reviews up there to try to boost this up to say, well, the critics don't like it, but the audience loves it. No. There are a lot of people who are, there's a whole campaign to try to prop this up. Eventually, they're going to have to get rid of the user reviews of movies, just like they had to do with a lot of different things, because you're just getting now
find bots and all these other things. And I mean, I don't know. It just seems crazy to me, but. So there you go. Okay. Well, there we go. Let's figure this out. I guess before we turn it over to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, I'll just say that the other big story of the day today is that on the Jersey side of the river, Ed Durr, the trucker, has ended his bid for governor. I sat down with him on Saturday in Atlantic City interviewing some of the candidates. He has ended his bid for governor. And there you go. So we'll see where the race for New Jersey governor goes. But I just know this. If there's ever a time for New Jersey flipping to red, it's this year, because the two big issues that are coming. And where is his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, today? He, if you want to know, he's down in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Mount Laurel, New Jersey is, oh, he endorsed Spadia. Okay, he endorsed Bill Spadia for governor. Mount Laurel, New Jersey is famous for a number of different things. It's a great town. A lot of people live there. A lot of people live, a lot of Zeal Army members who live there too. But the police department's fantastic. When we did our lemonade stand in Mount Laurel, Mount Laurel cops were awesome. But it's also famous for something called the Mount Laurel decision. The Mount Laurel decision in affordable housing basically said that every town has to have their fair share of affordable housing. Fair. See, so what's fair? Kind of going back to Disney and that. Every town has to have their fair share. And this is going to be the steamrolling issue going into this race, because I don't know if you're aware, and if you live in a suburban town in New Jersey, get ready for them to start erecting massive housing units, because for years they were able to find a way to push off their town's obligation and like buy it off, like offsets and things like that. But that's coming to an end because Murphy wants to see these things built. So you're going to start seeing high-rise complexes and buildings and homes going up, and it's all around quote-unquote affordable housing. But here's the problem, though, is that a lot of these towns, their services are already being overwhelmed with so many different things, you know, from police to schools and everything else. So ending the affordable housing nonsense has to be priority number one in this election, and all the Republican candidates agree on ending it by moratorium on day number one if they can do it. The second thing about that is that they need to go after the electricity rates, because you're about to get hit if you're in Jersey. 17% electricity rates. I don't want to root for electricity rates, but at the same time, these electricity rates, 17%, 25% going up for businesses, are also going to drive people to vote for Republicans come November. I really do believe that. So if there's ever a chance to flip New Jersey in a governor's race, it's this year. And it can be done. It really can, because New Jersey has a habit of electing Republicans for governor. They wind up doing that. So it absolutely is something that can be done, no question about it. But we'll talk more about all these things. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla is up next with special guest me. So don't go away. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.